Samuel chapter 18. This is a very different message. I don't really know what a Jubilee message is. You know, I guess it's just whatever God says, right? That's kind of the way you do it. Preach youth meetings. You say, well, do you do certain things at youth meetings? Yeah, I ask the Lord what he wants, and we do that at the youth meeting. I preached at your youth meeting here years ago on bitterness. Do you remember that? And thought when I thought, Lord, this is the craziest message for a youth conference. And there was a particular family there that God had sent it, at least for that one family that night. And so we trust he knows what he's doing, and I'm hoping that I heard his voice, and I do believe that I did. I'm going to show you a couple of things on the screen. I don't normally do that anywhere but our church, but I got a couple of pictures I want you to see in the introduction, and then I'm going to give you the thought. Typically, I have one, two, 3 points, you know, alliterated and all that stuff. I don't have that tonight. I just have an idea on my heart that, to be honest with you, I'd had on my heart and mind for a year before it ever became a message. I sat it in a notebook. You know how you'll write a little thought, and you just go back and look at it, and look at it, and look at it. And I feel like tonight that this is what the Lord would have me to give you, and then Brother McBride can come, and he'll give us the goods tonight. Now, I have a joke I used to use when there was a famous preacher preaching after me, which, of course, he is. Say amen. Amen. And but it got me in real trouble in Australia. I was preaching before David Gibbs. Have you ever heard preachers do that whole Mexican restaurant thing, and they'll say, I'm the free chips and salsa? Have you ever heard preachers do that? They'll say, how many of you like Mexican restaurants? Everybody raise their hand and say, you know that free chips and salsa that you get? And they'll say, I'm that. I'm the free chips and salsa. And the main course is the big shot preacher. He's coming next. Well, I was going to use that for a little humor in Australia, but my mistake was I didn't just say the main course. I said, I was going to say the burrito. I said the big burrito. Now, if you know Brother Gibbs, he's healthy. Well, and the Australian people, they're not very emotional. They don't show a lot, but they busted out laughing. And I thought, oh, no. And sure enough, it was oh, no, and I'm still paying for it. It's been like 2 years, so I'm not going to make any jokes. I'm thankful to have Brother McBride coming, looking forward to hearing it myself, and hopefully he can fix whatever mess I make. But I want to give you this thought tonight, 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us now. Help me to go quickly and get out of the way. And help me to be a blessing to this good congregation. Thank you for the good spirit and the singing. I thank you, Lord, that you're real, that you're alive, that we're not just wasting time as we do this. But, Lord, there's a living God in heaven that's looking down. It cares about what's going on tonight. And you care about your people and you want to help us. And I pray that you would. I pray that you remove anything in our hearts or minds that might be a hindrance to the Holy Ghost tonight. If anybody brought in with them from work or from home or from something in life, some problem in their mind or heart that's got them hindered, I pray you'd remove it now. And I pray that the Holy Spirit be able to move freely up and down these aisles and speak to us as we each individually need it. I'm thankful you can do that. Help us now. Bless Brother McBride as he comes in just a minute. Use him and his family and him as he preaches. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. Now, I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on the filters in our hearts. Very quickly through the introduction so I can give you the thought. A filter is something that stuff passes through and it affects how it comes out on the other side. Hit the button there, fellas. The definition that you find in the dictionary says something like this. A filter is something that separates solids from liquids or eliminates impurities or allows, listen now, or allows only certain things to pass through it. So something's passing through and the filter affects what comes out on the other side. Does everybody understand that? Now, we're familiar with a lot of them. We're familiar with air filters in our houses. Go ahead and hit the button there, brother, on each of these different kinds. And our automobiles, things like that. I was looking around. There's got to be a return to this room somewhere, and it'll have a filter into that vent, that return there. There's water filters. Some of you might have water filters on your taps to make the water come out better and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. I grew up in the country where it came right out of the mountain, praise God. And you could just bend over and drink it right there where it was coming out. But sometimes you have to have a filter on the water. We're familiar with fuel filters. Go ahead, brother, on our cars and lawnmowers and anything that's got a gas engine will have a fuel filter on it. Some of you have had that get clogged before and had to get it fixed. Didn't even know it was there until that happened. We know about oil filters and we know about coffee filters. Go ahead and hit it again. Some of you couldn't live without that and right there. You was asleep already till I said coffee. And somebody said, yes, where's it at? Well, I think it's just right over there, as a matter of fact, right, brother? And so coffee filters, and then even now we have a thing, go ahead and hit it again, brother, we have software filters on our computers, on our internet access, in order to catch some of the stuff that we don't want coming in. We can guard and we can put it on our computer so that certain things are kept out. The information's flowing in, the filter catches it, changes what's passing through, and only lets certain other things come through. Now, I want to submit to you tonight, go ahead and hit it one more time, that we create mental filters or filters in our heart. Now, listen to me. Throughout our lives, this happens, and it affects how we interpret the information that comes our way. Information comes our way at all times. It's like an avalanche. We get information through our eyes, through our ears. I mean, we get it from reading things, from just seeing something go on. We get it from listening and hearing. And now, of course, with all the different ways that we're communicating with the world, information is at a premium. I mean, it's at its highest level that it has ever been before. But these filters affect not how much we get. It affects what happens to it as it passes into our heart. It affects how we receive the information. Now, let me say this, and again, I understand this is different, but I need you to stay with me. Some of these are necessary. There's a Bible word we use, a term called discernment. Now, discernment really, in essence, comes from you creating some filters where you will, the Bible said in one place, try the spirits. You know what he's saying right there? Don't just receive anything. You need to filter it a little bit and make sure it's all right. Try the Spirit and see if it's of the Lord. And so I have a saying that I've said for many years, and it is that we need to be afraid enough to be careful. Talking about afraid of sin and afraid of yourself. You know, one of the problems with a lot of Christians is you really don't think you could ever do anything bad. And so it don't scare you to walk close to the edge because you think you're too good a person to ever mess up. See, your problem is you're not afraid of yourself. See, I'm scared of me. I know how wicked I am, and I know that I could certainly mess up, and I could certainly ruin my testimony and bring a reproach upon the Lord and our church, and it bothers me. It scares me. And so I've put some things in place in my life to try to help protect me. And so in order, that's called some discernment. That means there's situations that come up, and it'll require a little bit of judgment, a little bit of discernment, and it might bring a red flag. How many of you know that phrase? Shake your head. Now what you're doing right there is you're filtering the situation to just try and protect yourself from messing up. I have, for years, I'd heard preachers say that if they were in a hotel room preaching off or whatever, if they were there by themselves, they wouldn't turn the television on for anything. And I remember thinking, oh, come on, I can turn it on and watch a ball game and that'll be all right. I can turn it on, you know, and watch Fox News and that'd be all right. But I was in a hotel, started traveling more and more. I was in a hotel with some preacher boys one time. They had traveled with me and I was preaching at a family conference, for goodness sakes. I'd been preaching on the home and all their stuff. I'd even talked to them about guarding your home, not letting things come in. We got back over to the hotel room, me and them preacher boys. We was looking for a certain ball game that was on that night. We was clicking through. Now, you know, at your own house, if you got a TV, you might be familiar with the channels and everything. But in a hotel, you're just clicking through. And we were clicking there and man, we clicked on something and it was wickedness. I mean, bad wickedness. I clicked it real quick, got frustrated, just turned it off and threw the remote down. I was embarrassed that them boys had seen that. I felt guilty about it. I told him I was sorry. Well, I was in a hotel with my family another time, and this time not with the boys, but with my family. We were looking for a cartoon late in the evening. It was after a service, clicking through, and another thing come up, and it was real bad, and I clicked off of it real quick. I started thinking about those two situations later. I began to think about what if I'd been in them rooms by myself? What if that night the preacher boys didn't come and I was in that room looking for that ball game and that would have come up? Could I have been tempted? Well, yeah, anybody could have. And then I thought, what if I was in that other room and my family wasn't with me and I was just looking for something and that thing come up? I hope that I would click it off just as fast as I did with my family, but I began to think that's what them old preachers was talking about. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to adopt their rule. When I'm by myself in the hotel room, I'm just not going to turn it on. And not that I think it's wrong to watch a ball game or wrong to watch a cartoon or whatever or the news. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm afraid enough to be careful. And so there are a certain number of these filters. They help us create discernment. They help us to, filter circumstances and filter situations to maybe protect ourselves and our family. So a certain number of them are necessary in our lives. However, a problem with filters, hit that one more time, brother, is that they get dirty and they need to be changed or cleaned. See? See, that air filter at the top there, that thing's a mess. It's doing, now you know what? It's actually doing as much harm as it is good at that point, see. Now, its original creation, its original usage was good and needful. But now, because it's so dirty and it needs to be changed and it's not been changed, instead of doing good, it's probably doing harm to the system. Does everybody understand that? They occasionally have to be changed or cleaned. And see, if they're left for long periods of time, they become a detriment instead of a blessing. Go ahead and hit it one more time. We'll just leave it with that phrase right there, filters in our hearts. See, these filters in our hearts and minds, you say, what are you talking about? Well, you know, sometimes somebody hurts you or they hurt somebody you love. And without even planning it, it comes. There's one there. Sometimes you hear a little something about somebody. Maybe you didn't even want to hear it, but you just did. You hear something about a certain preacher or a certain church or a certain family. And without even meaning to, it's there. All of a sudden, a little filter is formed. Now, again, it might be needful. Brother, if I hear that a certain preacher is gone contemporary and he's going crazy, well, I might need to be careful. I might not need to read his book, or I might not need to just hang out with him all the time or call him for advice or whatever. There might be a certain necessary reason to have a little hesitation. But here's the problem. If I just leave that thing there and I never check it and I never clean it, and never change it, later it may become a real problem. See, here's what's going to happen. After I've just heard that one thing, I've created that filter, everything I see or hear or think about that guy is going to come through that. Whether it's true or not, it's going to come through that filter that I've now put up, whether it's true or not. It's going to affect every piece of information that comes into my life about that person. And here's the problem with these heart filters. If they're left uncleaned, like that picture we just looked at, and they're left unchanged, they sometimes turn into stuff like this, bitterness. See? They sometimes turn into anger and wrath and malice, which, by the way, are things that the Bible says grieve the Holy Ghost. Grieve the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but I got good reason. Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say it grieves the Holy Ghost unless you've got good reason. It just says it does. And I'm not saying the filters are not necessary, because for certain situations and circumstances they are, but you got to be careful with them. You say, what do you got to do? You got to check them. You got to check them. Sometimes you got to clean them. Sometimes you got to change them. Sometimes you don't need them anymore. Let me show you in the Bible, because some of you think I'm completely crazy. Right here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul created a filter in his mind. Right here in verses 8 and 9, look at it. Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. You know what the saying was? It was people bragging on David for his victories. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Let me ask you a very easy question, not a trick question. Did David say it? No. David didn't even say it. David had nothing to do with this right here. They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed but thousands. Look here. Here's the filter. If you mark in your Bible, you could put parentheses around this last phrase. Here's where the filter come. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And from that, listen, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He put a filter in his heart right there toward David. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, from that day forward, he thought, that boy wants my kingdom. So everything, and let me just say this, it was untrue. Amen, Bible scholars. It was untrue. David had opportunities later to forcefully take the kingdom, and he would not put his hand against King Saul. He loved Saul. When Saul and Jonathan died and David wept, it specifically says he wept for both of them. He loved Saul, and he would never have taken the kingdom from Saul. So this filter, all he wants is the kingdom, came into his heart, and it was untrue, and listen, and it was unnecessary. And beyond that, for 15 to 20 years, it messed up Saul's life. Now you think about that. In a split second, something came into his mind, traveled to his heart, and by the end of this 15 or 20 years, here's what he said. I have played the fool. You know what he realized 15 or 20 years later? There was a filter that got in my heart that wasn't true, and it's dictated my actions ever since. And listen, He could have been living in the palace all them years. Even though God had already said, your family's not going to be the king from here forward, he was still the king for many years. He could have been living in the palace. He could have been doing the best he could with the time he had. He could have been enjoying the fact that he was the king. Instead, we find him sleeping in a cave. We find him sleeping out under the stars. And all of that is because in his heart, when them women sang that song, he put a filter there and he said, that boy wants to steal my kingdom. And from that point forward, anything he saw David do, anything he heard David say, and listen to this, anything he heard somebody else say about David went through that filter, and it didn't just affect Saul and David, it affected Saul's relationships with other people in his life. There comes a time they're sitting around the table and his own son Jonathan says, Dad, why are you doing this? David's never done anything against you. And you know what that went through? That went through that filter, and in his heart he said, he's already stole my son. So you know what he does? He raises a spear and tries to kill his own son. Now the relationship between him and his own family. By the way, he had a daughter who helped her husband escape. It affected them. And all of it, listen, it was all unnecessary. But it was passing through that filter of, he wants my kingdom. Hey, listen, folks, it happens in churches all the time. It happens in families. We get something in our mind and it becomes a filter in our heart. And at that point, everything we see and hear is affected by that. Tainted by it, turned by it. Now listen, let me go ahead and preface again and say, some are rightfully there and are necessary. But you just got to watch them. You got to watch them. Let me show you another one. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Are you still awake? Say amen. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 10. He tried to kill his own son. He talked hatefully and wickedly to his own daughter. He ruined his own life because he put a filter in his heart that was based on untrue, unnecessary information. Second Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Look at it. We're going to go quickly now. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Now what you need to know is right there, this thing that's going on has just went through their filter. It's went through the filter of what they think of this man David. Verse 4, wherefore Hanan took David's servants. This is one of the strangest scriptures in the Bible. Of course, I know there's cultural meaning and all that, but when we read it not knowing all that, they shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Come on, when you first read that, you thought, that's the craziest thing I ever read. Amen? He embarrassed them. He insulted them. He culturally degraded them. If you know the rest of the story, because of that, there is a war. Because of that, this young king suffers great loss and lives are lost because of it. And let me say something to you. It didn't have to be. However, they rightfully had this filter in their heart. You say, what was their filter? Their filter was that David was a ruthless general. That he was a man that would come and conquer your land. That was the filter they had of David. Do you know why they had that filter of David? Because that's what he had been doing all over the world with the blessings of God. I'm not bad-mouthing David. I'm just saying, if you look at chapter 8, you'll see a snapshot of all of David's conquests. It starts, listen, all these areas where David had gone and gotten victory. Now, when David goes in and gets victory, he brings his army, he beats their army, they suffer loss, he either takes everything or he establishes authority in their land. Does everybody understand that? In chapter 8, one Bible commentary says it this way. He said, chapter 8 describes the conquest of David's enemies. He goes on to say, the writer describes David's military campaigns from the west in verse 1, to the east in verse 2, to the north in verses 3 to 11, and to the south in verse 13 to 14, suggesting victory in every direction. And in that chapter, in verse 6 and 14, it says twice, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So David was going from place to place and he was gaining the land that God had given the Jews. I know that. I'm not a heretic here. I'm pro-Jew. Everybody okay with that? I'm for David. He had a right to everything he was doing. But what you got to understand is these advisors, all they knew, they don't know what we know. They haven't read the Bible. They didn't believe that God had given them all that land. All they knew is that this David is a mighty warrior and his mighty men are they're undefeated, man. And wherever they go, they take conquest and they take over. And here's what they thought. That's what he's coming to do. The only reason he ain't come before is because your daddy had been good to him. Let me say something to you. They rightfully had that filter. And so I think they should have been afraid enough to be careful. In other words, Brother Floor, I wouldn't have had a bit of problem with that king saying, all right, well, here's what we'll do. Just stop them out there by the gate. Let them in the gate. Don't let them see anything else in the land. I'll come out and meet them. If it's for real, they can greet me. They can give me gifts. I can thank them. They can go back to David. They will not have seen anything. They will not have gained any secrets, which is, by the way, you know what they said they were doing. They were coming to spy out the land. So he could have been careful enough. He could have been afraid enough to be careful and not offended them. But instead, they ran it through the filter with no checks, no balances. They just ran it through the filter of David is a conqueror, and that's what he's here to do, and here's what we better do. And listen, and there's loss of life. People die because of it. Because they had that, that's what they had in their heart. See, the thing with these filters is that some of them are based on false information just to begin with. Sometimes we hear or read something and it's not even true. But without even meaning to, our flesh and our heart, by the way, which is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, it creates a filter sometimes based on false information. Right off the bat, it's not true. But you build the filter anyway if you're not careful. Sometimes they're based on outdated information. Did you know people can change? Did you know people can get saved and become a new creature and they're not like they used to be because of that? How many of you are glad that everybody's not holding against you all the stuff you used to do? Say amen right there. But if we're not careful, we don't use that filter. We might have known this person 20 years ago and we've got our filter set and that's just it, man. That's just it. That's the way they always were. That's the way his daddy was. That's the way his brother was. That's the way they are. Wouldn't trust them any further. Hey, listen, what if they got saved, friends? Sometimes it's on outdated information. Sometimes it's on no information. King Saul's was based on nothing. It was all built in his wicked mind and heart and ruined his life. We had an old boy in our town named Tater Sheehan. You know you live in the country when there's a man named Tater, amen? Matter of fact, we had a boy named Tater in our school. I was on a bus route years ago and went to a house, had a little girl. The little girl's name was Junior. The boy's name was Bubba and Pickles. Junior, Bubba, and Pickles, and Junior's the girl. How about that, friends? You don't get that everywhere you go. Hey, man, maybe in West Virginia, preacher, right? I don't even know why I told you that. That has nothing to do with anything that I'm saying right here. Had this man named Tater Sheehan, and Tater was the town drunk. His wife got saved. She'd prayed for him for years and years and years. I mean, years and years and years. Had a tent meeting in town. The Holy Ghost was there, and he came one night, and Tater got saved. I mean, it was one of them you've heard about. People, I mean, as soon as he came in the tent, everybody was going wild. And when he came down the aisle, it said it was like a wave. You could hear it. If you didn't even look, you knew what was going on. Tater was coming to the altar. Tater got saved. Joined New Manna. This was before I was ever there. Joined New Manna, and God changed his life. It wasn't too awful long after that. He is helping take up the offering in the church. When the town people started hearing that, they couldn't believe that. They would say to our pastor, they would say, you mean you let Tater Sheehan handle the money in your church? Now, the reason they were saying that was because he had been a thief, see. When he was a drunk, he'd take money from anybody, including his own wife, his own children. And see, that was that filter in their heart was, boy, you better watch out. If Tater Sheehan comes around and shakes your hand, you better check your billfold. And that was rightfully so. But guess what? It was outdated information. Tater had gotten saved. Hey, and he's a new creature because of Jesus. And he was different. And you know what? We earned some of those old filters that people have. But thankfully, you can live for God long enough. Sometimes you can do away with them. But we as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll hold on to old, outdated filters that we put there. And we don't even give people a chance to change. We don't even give them a chance to get right with God. Amen. You know, sometimes the one that hurt me can get right. Well, bless God, then they need to come and tell me. Well, it probably wouldn't do any good the way you are. Let's just be honest. That filter's so dirty, it won't get through. Well, but I know how bad it was. You understand? We've been through some things. All of us, let's be honest. We've all been hurt, and we've probably all hurt. But see, what I don't want is I don't want the Holy Ghost hindered in my life. It ain't worth that. And so every now and then you have to take it to God. You have to say, Lord, this filter that I once put there to protect my family, myself, the church, whatever. Lord, does it need to be cleaned? Does it need to be removed? Does it need to be changed? You say, what about the New Testament? Let's look over in Acts chapter 9 and we'll be done. And we'll let Brother McBride come. Now listen, I'm glad we could sing and shout a little bit on This Is My Story, This Is My Songs. I knew we wasn't going to be shouting right here. Amen. I don't know if this is Jubilee or not, but we need to make sure that we don't have some things. Listen, hey, I hope that people have given me in the last 20 years that I've been at New Manna, I hope that they have given me the chance to grow. Because I've done some real dumb things back in the day. Thinking I was right, thinking I was on the right side, thinking I was doing the right thing and doing it all for God. Hey, listen, but I was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Are we live streaming? Back in the middle of one of our church troubles, I was Abishai for my David. And if you know Abishai and Joab, they was always wanting to cut people's heads off. And I love that. And I think that should be a ministry. But God don't let us do it no more. And boy, one night it was on, and it had not just hurt my David, but his daughter, who was my best friend's wife or girlfriend at the time, I can't remember, but it was it. We had had enough. Went to the man's house, waited for him to get off work. And he comes pulling in from work in his police car. Yeah, brilliant. His wife came to work for me a few years ago. Now see, the story in the paper didn't have my name in it. That I knew, I didn't know anybody knew I was the other guy. Most people knew who the driver was. Now we didn't do anything, we just fussed at him. But it was a big deal. Some years later, she came and wanted to put an application in. I told my secretary, I said, do you think she knows I'm the one that was standing out there accusing them? She said, I don't know. I said, I ain't telling her. I ain't bringing it up. She works for us. We love her. She loves us. Some time passed. Somebody said something one day, and she said, oh, yeah, I remember when Brother Shirley came to my house that night. You know what she told some people? She said, he's different now. That's what she said. She said, he's different now. And she brags on our place, and she tells people to come to our school, and she loves working there. You know what she's done? She let me change. She let me grow. She let me learn. So sometimes you got to give people a chance to get up and realize that they don't know everything. And give them a chance. You got to say, God, is this filter still needed? Is it still right? Or is it turned into just bitterness now? Is it just anger now? Is it just wrath and malice? In Acts chapter 9, there was an old fellow named Saul. In the first 9 verses, he meets Jesus and he gets saved. He's forever known as the Apostle Paul. Chapter 7, he's holding the coach for those that killed Stephen. In chapter 8, it says he's consenting unto his death. Chapter 8, verse 3, it said he made havoc of the church, entering every house. Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, said he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter and desired of him letters. I mean, he was a wicked man. Does everybody understand that? Wicked man. And then he met Jesus. And he got saved. And he changed him forever. And he became the man that spread the gospel around the world, wrote most of the New Testament. But you know, the filter had been set as church persecutor. By the way, was that rightfully there? Absolutely. Yes. Listen, you would have been an idiot as a Christian not to have been careful around this man Saul. Does everybody understand that? I mean, you got to be afraid enough to be careful. And so in chapter 9, verse 10 to 14, he saved. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said, he spoke to him. He said, I'm here in verse 11. He said, arise and go to the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him. Verse 13, Ananias answered. Here's the fielder. Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Rightfully had a filter there about Paul. But the Lord says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. You know what the Lord says? He's different. You can throw that filter away. By the way, when he gets to Jerusalem with the disciples, they're all that way. They said, we're not just going to let you walk in here and be a part of the group because you said you got saved. And Barnabas stepped up and said, guys, I saw him down in Damascus preaching. I mean, he's risked his life for Jesus. I believe he's different. You know what Barnabas was saying? Maybe we got to change that filter on this one. Can you imagine some of them that was friends of Stephen? How hard would that have been? Hey, but don't you remember what he did to Stephen? Yeah, but God said he's a chosen vessel now. You say, well, what do we do? Well, you just have to check them every now and then. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way. There's some good filters. The golden rule filter is a good one. See, if Brother Fallour hears something crazy about, well, not crazy because I am crazy. If he hears something bad about me, what I hope he does is at first I hope he gives me the benefit of the doubt. That's what I want him to do. I want him to think, now he is crazy, but he loves the Lord and he believes the King James Bible and also whatever it might be. I would hope that he would first give me the benefit of the doubt. Well, the golden rule says, then that's what you should do for others. What you would want him to do for you. So if I hear something about him, you know what my first thought should be? Not like, I knew it. I knew that fancy preacher. He is one, by the way, just so y'all know. No, you know what I should do? What I want him to do for me? I should say, I don't believe that. Not Brother Fallour. Ain't no way. I ought to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's a good filter to start with. You say, preacher, if you do that, you'll get burned. You're absolutely right. Yes, you will. Sort of like Jesus did. And he knew all along. But he went ahead and let Judas burn him anyway. Yeah, you're going to get burned. That's not a reason not to do anything. Not to do it again just because you get burned. I want people to give me the benefit of the doubt. That's a good one. Hey, the Word of God filter is a good one. If it's against the Bible, you don't even got to discern it. It's already discerned. That's a good one. The Holy Spirit can give us discernment. But let me just caution you right here. Sometimes we can fool ourselves about how good we are at discerning. I mean, honestly. Sometimes we can get so spiritual that we think we can't ever be wrong about this. Boy, be careful about that. Them other 11 apostles walked with Jesus, and none of them could tell Judas was a fake. As a matter of fact, when the Lord said one of you is going to betray, they started questioning themselves. And even when he said, to whom I give the sop, and he handed it to him, and then he said, what thou doest, go do quickly, they still didn't think it was Judas. They said, oh, well, he's telling him to go do something with the money. He must have something for him to do. Hey, they started saying, is it I? Is it I? Now, John the Beloved didn't say, is it I? He knew it wasn't him. But he said, who is it? Nobody said, Lord, we all know it's Judas. Because they didn't know. If those 11 can be fooled, probably any of us can. So you got to be a little careful about that one, that you just don't start branding everybody that you don't think is right and you have a right to. No, you got to be careful. We're not all as spiritual sometimes as we think we are. But the Bible's a filter, the golden rule filter, and the Holy Spirit filter with caution. Main thing is, tonight, would you just be willing to say, Lord, do I have any of these that have gotten so dirty that they've become a hindrance in my spiritual life? Have I got something against somebody and it's either based on false information or outdated information or no information? It just was made completely in here. And if so, Lord, would you help me clean them or just get them out? Because I want the Holy Ghost. What's the point of having a jubilee if the Holy Ghost comes in here and can't speak to us? Because he's grieved. Would you just pray and say, and you know lost people do this. Many lost people, Brother McBride, won't get saved because one Christian done something to them years ago and they created a filter about all Christians. And when anybody approaches them with the gospel, it comes through that filter. Or they saw one preacher who was after only money, and so now they think every preacher's after only money. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Bless Brother McBride.